$5 love offering taken at the door. Please call 1-800-205-6245 for more information. And shalom.
And here at the American Freedom Network, and this morning, our special guest is William Federer, who's a prolific writer. And we're going to be discussing this morning an article he had written, appeared in WorldNet Daily. And, of course, it's dealing with amnesty. It's dealing with Teddy Kennedy. And people must understand that going back to 1965, that's 42 years ago, why Ted Kennedy was in the Senate at that time, or in the Congress, and he was pushing the new immigration bill at that time. Well, I'm going to let William Federer tell you the background about the McCarran Immigration Act, which had served America very well for many years, and it was bringing the majority of our immigrants from Western Europe. And, you know, America was a different country at that time. But Ted Kennedy, in 1965, and then again in 1986 and 1996, and now has been working to change America. A man with an intense hatred for our country, who would convert us from what we were into a multicultural, multilingual, warring country where they'd be able to pit one group against another. Ted Kennedy, the hero of Chappaquiddick, has been one of the primary movers for the amnesty legislation, and his good friend George W. Bush is certainly pushing Ted Kennedy's legislation, and we must ask ourselves why. Please go ahead, William.
Well, Dr. Stan, it's great to be with you, and you brought up a very interesting point, is that prior to 1965, majority of the immigrants that came into America prior to 1965 were from Europe, and 70% of them from three countries, the United Kingdom, Ireland, and Germany, and then the other European countries. And these immigrants were very largely educated and culturally and economically similar to Americans, and so they assimilated very easily. And a goodly percentage of them became Republican. And it's interesting that the statistics were brought out how immigrants from poorer countries tended to be less educated, tended to be more dependent upon the government, and tended to become Democrats. And so Lyndon Johnson had this bill to change our immigration policy, and it was ushered through the United States Senate by none other than Teddy Kennedy. He was in office that long ago. And so here is a speech he gave February 10th, 1965. He said, "I want to comment on what this bill will not do. First, our cities will not be flooded with 1 million immigrants annually. Under the proposed bill, the present level of immigration remains substantially the same." Well, we can see he was wrong on that point. Kennedy continued, "Secondly, the ethnic mix of this country will not be upset. Contrary to the charges in some quarters, this bill will not inundate America with immigrants from any one country or area." Well, he was wrong on that account. Again, Teddy Kennedy commenting on his 1965 bill. He says, "Thirdly, the bill will not permit the entry of subversive persons, criminals, illiterates, or those with contagious diseases. As I noted a moment ago, no immigrant visa will be issued to a person who is likely to become a public charge." Well, we obviously see that's not the case. We have all kinds of new diseases coming across the border, and MS-13 gangs, these very serious drug-dealing gangs. Kennedy promised, again, this is 1965, he says, "This bill will not flood our cities with immigrants. It will not upset the ethnic mix of our society. It will not relax the standards of admission. It will not cause American workers to lose their jobs." And then again, in 1986, Teddy Kennedy ushered through another amnesty bill, and he writes this. He said this: "This amnesty will give citizenship only to 1.3 million illegal aliens. We will secure our borders henceforth. We will never again bring forth an amnesty bill like this. Well, as Dr. Stan, you've pointed out before, the amnesty was granted not to 1.3 million, but to closer to 3.4 million illegal immigrants. They did not secure the border, and he is bringing up another amnesty bill just like it. So again, we see a track record of what he says being different from what actually happens.
And of course, in that 86 legislation, they were to go after the employers who hired the illegal aliens and the illegal immigrants, and they refused to enforce the legislation, either to seal the border or to go after the people who were hiring illegal immigrants in 86 under the Reagan administration, during the first Bush administration, and in 1996 there was another immigration bill during the and they promised again to secure the border and go after the illegal immigrants. They have never intended to do that, because what we're seeing is part of a long-range plan to change America and to change the demographic makeup of our country, to destroy our sovereignty, and to bring us into the one-world government. Go right ahead.
So a couple countries that I talk about in my article, and the article is on worldnetdaily.com, and it's entitled Trust Teddy Kennedy Again. A couple other countries. One is Lebanon. Lebanon was given its freedom from France in 1943. After World War One, the different countries in Europe took mandate or made protectorates out of certain countries, similar to the way the United States has had Puerto Rico as a protectorate, and for a while with the Philippines. And anyway, after World War One, Britain took the protectorate mandate for Palestine and eventually allowed Israel to come into existence again. They wanted America to take the protectorate for Armenia, and we declined, and 1.5 million Armenian Christians were killed by the Muslims over there in the very subsequent years. And then France took the mandate for Lebanon and Syria, and in 1943, France granted independence to Lebanon. Lebanon was an 80% Christian country, and they set up a democracy. But then they went through a process called Islamification.
We'll be right back in just a moment with William Federer here at the American Freedom Network.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Article 6 of the Bill of Rights.
Messianic praise and worship leader, Israeli recording artist, and longtime friend Jonathan Satel will be in concert Saturday, June the 30th at 10:30 a.m. at the Beth Messiah Congregation, 8333 Acoma Way in Denver. This is a Shabbat concert you won't want to miss. That's June the 30th, 10:30 a.m., Beth Messiah Congregation. For more information, call 1-800-205-6245.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
It's time for the annual 4th of July picnic at Parrish Park in Johnstown. Join Eric Cederstrom, Joe Jaquin, Michael Corbin, Danette Golden, Randy Yarborough, Don and Sharon Wiedemann, and all of your other favorite talk show personalities and advertisers for an old-fashioned 4th of July. Avi Lipkin will be the guest speaker, and there will be music, talk, and much more. Daddy's Dogs will be cooking up the best dogs and burgers in town. $5 per person gets you a great lunch. Call 1-800-205-6245 for more information.
Well, I stand back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest, William Federer. Please, Bill, go right ahead.
Islamification, that's the name of the process that took place in Lebanon. A recap, Lebanon was given its independence from France in 1943. It was an 80% Christian country, but they set up a democracy. And Muslims moved into Lebanon in very large numbers from the surrounding countries, and they had a higher birth rate, partly because Muslims can have four wives, according to the Quran. And so as the population of Muslims increased in Lebanon, they gained increased control over the elections, and in the process of time, Lebanon has transitioned to a 30% Christian country, and now, of course, it's a base for the different terrorist groups to fire into Israel. So we see that an instance of a large amount of population coming in can change the demographic makeup and can take control of the legislative process. And so when Teddy Kennedy wants to give a path to citizenship to 20 million illegal immigrants, he's really wanting to grant a path to Democrat vote for 20 million illegal immigrants. In other words, the immigrants are polled as being more dependent on the government and therefore would become Democrat voters. And so this is a way for Teddy Kennedy to have 20 million more Democrat votes. And then with chain migration, where relatives can come across easier, and with higher birth rates, we can see a permanent Democrat party. So what the bill is before Congress right now is a bill to establish a permanent Democrat party in the United States. And along with this is because the Republican base sort of inherently knows there's something wrong with this, and they are very strongly against the bill. Because the president is promoting the bill, it is disillusioning a lot of the Republican base. And if this indeed passes, it's going to result in a lot of people deciding not to support the next Republican nominee, no matter who he is. And if that happens, then there's a very good chance that we will get a Democrat, Hillary Clinton, in as the next president of the United States. So what this bill is right now is a Hillary Clinton president bill that's before the U.S. Senate. It's mystifying why the president has been promoting it, but there's some points that I'm going to get into in a little bit that may shed some light there as well. But another country, in addition to Lebanon, that's worth looking at is Tibet. Now, Tibet is a small mountainous country between China and India. It has three provinces. China took over two of the provinces. The third province has been holding out. It has been resisting for decades, resisting this unification effort to be unified with China. And China has resorted to a process called Sinofication. And Sino is a word for China. So Sinofication is the forced immigration of Chinese into Tibet. And as these Chinese are forced into Tibet and they set up shop and they begin to live there, guess what? The resistance to unification with China lessens because there's a larger population of Chinese, and why would they be opposed to being united with the country that they just came from? Well, there we see a very similar situation to our southern border, that there is a proposed North American Union. The Security Prosperity Agreement, where Canada and Mexico and the United States would basically, for all economic reasons be united. It's very similar to what's happened in Europe with the EU. You know, it's interesting that the Germans were not clamoring to be united with the French. The French were not clamoring to be united with the Italians. How did that happen in Europe, where they have an EU, where they have one currency and the travel without borders? It happened by a top-down imposed process by the financial elites in Europe. And we see a similar situation in America, that the different global financial interests would very much like to have a borderless situation between Mexico and Canada. They can have access to cheaper labor and bring their goods into America without the tariffs and all the other kinds of hassles. And they want to get rid of the borders. They want a North American Union similar to the EU. And if anybody wants to, they can go to Wikipedia.com and type in trade blocks. And it lists all the trade agreements around the world. The EU, the NAFTA, but the Southeast Asian nations, the Northern African nations, the Caribbean nations, and it colors the map in of the world. And so it has America colored in with Canada and Mexico. And then it has a graph where you can see can travel without a visa, can travel without, you know, passports. You can have a common currency accepted, trade agreements in force, and borderless. And so we see many of these countries have accomplished that. Others, it says proposed, and then others, it's just sort of mysteriously blank. But we see that there is this trend to have a dozen or so regional trading blocks where the different local countries will surrender their sovereignty for all practical purposes to a regional organization for trade purposes. But then those 10, 12 regional groups can very easily coordinate together for a one-world government. And anyway, there is have many things written about that, and Dr. Stan, you've written about those different things, but there's been a resistance in America to being united with Mexico. But like the Tibet Sinofication example, that if a lot of Mexicans, millions of Mexicans, are allowed to come across the border, guess what? They're not going to be resistant to being united with the country that they came from, that they still identify with, that they still have family down there. And so we see two things happening with this mass immigration. We see a permanent Democrat Party, but also we see a North American Union that is in the making. And, you know, on the subject of the international business community, it's sort of a vicious circle. Everybody wants to buy the cheapest goods, myself included. People want to go to Walmart. I try to avoid there, but people want to go and buy the cheapest goods. Well, I ran for Congress, and I had a friend that made little leather wallets and daytimers for Walmart. Business was in St. Genevieve, Missouri, and he hired about 200 ladies who sewed leather wallets, and this was back in 1998, 1999, 2000. He was such a good employer, he actually paid for the college education of all of the workers if they wanted to get a college education. I ran for Congress 2 years after that, and his shop had been reduced to 30 people. I said, what happened? He said Mark told him that they were going to reduce the amount they were going to pay for his leather wallets and daytimers, and that he said he bought goods. He couldn't even get the leather for the price that China could produce the finished product. And so he had a choice. He could either go out of business and let Walmart buy straight from China, or he could go into the import business. And so he decided to move his, you know, factory facilities overseas, and now he just, you know, brings back in stuff made from China. And but Walmart is driving that because the consumers are driving that. And so we see that once these businesses move overseas, they want the tariffs reduced. So prior to the business being moved overseas, they wanted the tariffs high to make the foreign goods more expensive so that people would buy their goods. Once they could no longer make a go of it over here and they moved over there, then they joined the team to want the tariffs lowered so they could bring their goods back into America cheaper. You ever play that game when you were a kid, Red Rover, Red Rover, send Johnny over? where the kids would line up on one side and hold hands, and then the other ones in the middle would try to run and break through their hands. And if you couldn't break through, guess what? You had to join the other team. And it actually started with Franklin Roosevelt. He raised taxes so high during World War II that businesses began to move overseas. We, you know, had a government policy promoting it with the Marshall Plan, where we rebuilt Germany and Japan with brand new equipment. Well, who did the rebuilding? Well, American businesses. And they realized that, hey, we can operate overseas, and we can lobby to lower the tariffs so we can bring our goods back into America cheaper. And once they were a little bit successful, the tariffs were lowered. The companies in America said, oh, we got more competition. Some of them couldn't make a go of it. And like a dam being lowered, the water flooding in, some of them decided that they were going to close up shop, move overseas. And then they joined the team to lobby to reduce the tariffs. Tariffs were lowered more, and the kind of companies that were left in America had more competition from their former allies. Then they closed up shop, moved overseas, opened their factory, and then they joined the team to lobby to reduce the tariffs. And GATT and NAFTA were more or less the ultimate reductions in tariffs. NAFTA is the North American Free Trade Agreement, and GATT is the General Agreement of Tariffs and Trades. And they were passed in 1993 and 1994 under the Clinton administration, voted for by both Democrats and Republicans. And these treaties allowed these big global conglomerates to bring cheap goods into America for all the Walmart stores, but it also allowed them to bring cheap goods into Mexico. And so these big stores opened up, and they sold things made in China cheaper than the Mexican manufacturers could make them themselves. And so it put out of business tens of thousands of Mexican manufacturers. The same way when a Walmart moves into a little town, it's not long before all the mom-and-pop stores close down. All the dress stores, the auto parts stores, all the, you know, little grocery stores, they can't compete, and so they end up becoming greeters in Walmart. Well, when these big stores moved into Mexico, and they sold stuff made in China cheaper than the Mexicans could make it, then it put out of business tens of thousands of small manufacturers in Mexico. Also, these treaties allowed the big grain companies to move in to Mexico and sell their grain cheaper than the Mexicans could grow it. So the little subsistence farmer in Mexico shows up with his bag of corn that he grew with his ox and his plow, and guess what? He can't sell it for what you can buy fully made tortillas at these big stores. And so it put out of business hundreds of thousands of small Mexican farmers. And then, with so many of these displaced workers out of work, the peso investment dollar started leaving Mexico, and so the government decided to devalue the peso, make it worth half, which meant foreign investors could now buy twice as much from these big conglomerates in Mexico, but the Mexican, with his little pesos, could now buy half of what he could buy before of American goods and imported goods. And so it really destroyed the Mexican economy for the underclass.
Really,
so
it impoverished the hardworking Mexican people, you know, who put their faith in the Mexican peso, and suddenly half of everything they'd worked for so long and saved for was simply gone, literally overnight.
And you know, this is what's happened with globalists in Brazil and Argentina. You know, they'd have an economic crisis, and all of a sudden the government would say, guess what, your money's worth half. And so what happened is these displaced Mexican workers decided to go north. The treaties actually encouraged this migration because for about 2 years they had what was called maquiladores. These were free trade zones along the Mexican border, and factories were being set up by American companies right across the border so that they could have these Mexicans work really cheap, and then they could bring their goods right back into America with no tariffs. And they worked fine, but then it kicked in where Chinese goods could be brought in, and they were cheaper than the Mexican maquiladores could produce them, so all those businesses went out of business. And so now the migration started of these farmers saying, hey, there's work up north, and now they're simply crossing over the border into America. And but there's also a couple other different angles that are important to look at of why the Mexican government does not stop this. And it's twofold. Number one, every disgruntled young Mexican that comes across the border is one less potential revolutionary. You see, Mexico has a tradition of revolutions. Whereas America is the story of the middle class, Mexico is the story of the rich and the poor.
Well, that's all. We'll be right back in just a moment with William Federer.
If you have considered advertising with us here at KHNC, you want to support the station and promote your business, but you've been waiting for a really good discounted rate to get started. Well, here it is, and it's only available for new advertisers through June 26th. Get an advertising package valued at over $4,000 for only $200 a month. Sign up now. Get a six-month advertising blitz. Promote your business. For qualifying details, contact me here at 1-800-205-6245.
I'm speaking with Angela Smith with Destiny Lending. Manufactured homes have been difficult to finance. Has that changed?
Yes. We have programs for up to 100% financing on single and double wide, with or without land. Rural homes also qualify. Stop paying outrageous interest rates just because you own a manufactured home.
So call Angela Smith with Destiny Lending, 970-988-3840. That's 970-988-3840.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you and is just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
How many of you battle the symptoms of failing health with toxic medications and inconvenient supplements? Do you feel like you've been fighting battles but losing the war? How about winning the war for a change? Introduce BioSuperfood in your diet and increase the metabolic activity of each cell in your body for greater repair, detoxification, and regeneration. Gain immediate energy, boost your immune system, and restore your health with extraordinary whole and organic nutrients in BioSuperfood. Win the war against disease. Call now, 877-288-9116.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Food Network, our guest this morning is certainly been going into the background of the amnesty legislation of William Federer. Before we go on, let's go ahead and get out your address, your telephone number, your website, so people know how to get in touch with you.
Oh, thanks so much, Dr. Stan. My website is AmericanMinute.com. That's AmericanMinute.com. And I have a toll-free telephone number. It's 1-888-USA-WORD. That's 1-888-USA-WORD. And I send out a free daily email called The American Minute. Anybody can sign up for it there. And I've written several new books, one being the What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran, A History of Islam in the United States. And but this, what we've been talking about today, is a new article on the WorldNetDaily.com. And if anybody emails my website, I can send them a copy of the article as well.
All right, fine. Well, you go ahead and let's continue talking about this process which is going on today, which is certainly going to lead to the demise of the United States. And, of course, what most people really don't understand is that there is a small clique of people who have no loyalty to the United States, whose loyalty is to, well, to this idea of a world government or globalization, or as the president's father said, I think it was back in September 11th, 1991, the New World Order. That is their goal. What most people don't understand is, of course, you've got to destroy Christianity along with that. They want a new world religion. And then, of course, they are dedicated to this idea of a world leader who will lead this new world order. Because, of course, there is a strong, very powerful spiritual force which is energizing them. But you pick up the story there, please, Bill.
Well, Mexico is the story of the rich and the poor. America is the story of the middle class. You know, when America was founded, it was the second sons, that was one of the terms used, that founded the country. The first sons were the ones to get the inheritance. So they wanted to stay over in Europe because they wanted to inherit the castles and so forth. Well, the other sons didn't have the inheritance, and so they would strike out on adventure. And then also, America was populated by a very educated class of people who came over for religious dissent, nonconformists, people that wanted the freedom of conscience to worship God according to the Bible and so forth. And so the contrast is made with Mexico. Mexico was founded in 1521. It was conquered by Cortez. And from 1521 to 1821, 300 years, it was ruled by the Spanish royalty, the Spanish nobles, the Spanish upper class. And they didn't share the wealth. It started, unfortunately, with Columbus's second voyage. He was Italian, and he started a colony. And the 2,000 Spanish settlers that he brought over were these get-rich-quick guys, and they looked down upon Italians. And so here's Columbus. He was a good explorer but a lousy governor. And they came to him, and they were revolting against him. And so he went ahead and gave in to their demands. They wanted their own plot of land, and they wanted whatever Indians happened to be on that plot of land, and they enslaved them and put them to work looking for gold. And that was what was copied all throughout Mexico. Basically, they set up the feudal system is what you had in Europe, where you had the rich landed lord, and the peasants were tied to the land. They were the peons. And you contrast that with William Penn. He was given Pennsylvania as his own personal estate. He could have been like the Spanish lords and went in there and gathered an army and subdued the Indians, but instead he went over and dealt honestly with the Indians, paid them an honest price for the land, and treated them with respect, and invited all the dissidents from Europe over, and he gave away the land to all those, you know, different religious refugees instead of, you know, trying to make money off it. And so we see a difference here. America didn't have one particular denomination. It was all these different dissident Christian groups, and no one had a majority, so they had to learn to work together to fight the King of England for our independence. And after the war, they didn't want one denomination chosen as the national one, so they came up with the First Amendment, which basically just limits the federal government. But that's a whole nother talk. In Mexico, they did have only one, and it was the Catholic Church, and so they didn't have the development of the tolerance that we have over here. But for the 300 years, Mexico was the small group of rich landed lords and the mass of poor. Now, in 1810, there was a priest named Hidalgo that got so upset at the way the poor were being treated, he started a revolution. Unfortunately, the Napoleon over in Europe decided to march through Spain and take it over, and he put his brother on the throne of Spain. So here we have Napoleon's French brother on the throne of Spain, and so the rich noblemen in Mexico said, we're not going to be loyal to this French guy, we're going to rebel. And then you had the poor in Mexico saying, well, we want to rebel too, because we want to be free and have rights like the Americans. And so there were two purposes rebelling against Spain, and they won their independence, but you had Iturbide, a general, decide to set up a monarchy in Mexico and make himself the emperor. And so the poor were no better off. And so this went on for a while. They set up a constitution like America, but Santa Anna scrapped it and made himself the dictator. He wanted to be a little Napoleon over here. And so different states began to rebel against Santa Anna's dictatorship. San Luis Potosi and Carreteros and Zacatecas and Tejas, Texas. And Santa Anna went in with his army and subdued all those other states, but he went into Texas, and guess what? He wasn't able to subdue it, and it broke free. A little side note, the Spanish claimed all the land simply by walking across it. So if a conquistador walked across Arizona, they claimed Arizona. But out of the 8 million people in Mexico, there was less than 100,000 that were north of the Rio Grande. It was so sparsely populated. It was mostly populated by Indians, and the Indians paid no attention at all to the Mexican government. They had their own Indian government. So it was just Spanish in name, really. It was not Spanish in occupation. So their claims to want it back and so forth today are very tenuous. It's just based upon Coronado walking across Colorado, so they want to claim it. So we see that Santa Anna originally wanted to sort of help the poor, but then he became a dictator himself. Then you had, after him, a short while after, Benito Juarez. And Benito Juarez was an Indian, so he attacked the rich, he attacked the Catholics, because the Catholics had sided with the rich. They were a conscience convicting the rich to be nice to the poor, but they didn't want to upset the status quo and set up a new government. And so in Benito Juarez's mind, they were the same. So he attacked both of them. But unfortunately, what happened is he began to put his buddies in office, and you started this cronyism. Sort of like, you know, when the communist government, the Soviet government was taken down in Russia, the same people that were part of the Soviet Party just became the part of the mafia, and they ended up still being in control. They just changed the names, but they still kept in control. And that's sort of what happened in Mexico, is the wealthy still stayed in control, even though...
And Bill, we'll be back in just a minute. We'll be back in just a moment.
To order your cassette copy of this program, call the American Freedom Network at 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small town service in the big city. And be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Are you treating just your symptoms with dangerous medications and a multitude of supplements? If you answered yes, then you may be fighting the battle but losing the war. Nourish each cell in your body with BioSuperfood and win the war. 30 years of research, BioSuperfood offers more than 5,000 nutrients, proteins, vitamins, minerals, enzymes, EFAs, and powerful antioxidants to boost your immune system. With BioSuperfood, the war is won at the cellular level. Call today toll-free 877-288-9116.
If you enjoy alternative stations on the radio, shouldn't your TV service provide the same choices? You can get more channels than you have now, plus many more Christian and family programs in crystal clear 100% digital picture and sound, and the price is significantly lower than cable. Just call Rocky Mountain Satellite at 970-443-7375. Already enjoying satellite TV but want a lower price? We can help you too. Packages start at only $19.99 a month. Call 970-443-7375. DVRs and high definition also available.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, William Federer, and we're getting a history lesson as far as Mexico is concerned. And this is important because most people don't understand the history of Mexico. That Mexico today has a number of billionaires. My understanding is they have more billionaires in Mexico than all the rest of South America put together. A two-tiered society. The billionaires, a massive bureaucracy and police force and military to keep the people subjugated, very small middle class, mostly poor. And that's just the direction we're headed here in the United States today. The rich class, a massive military, and of course mercenaries to keep the people in place, new concentration camps being built by Halliburton, and then increasingly the loss of the middle class and a growing, ever-growing number of poor people impoverished by the planned policies of shipping our jobs and manufacturing and wealth overseas. Pick up the story there, Bill.
So, again, whereas America was the story of the middle class, and literally this history of freedom is the history of the middle class. In Europe, you always had the rich monarchs and the masses of the poor. But in Holland, you had a business trading class that was able to amass money and therefore get armies to challenge the monarchs. And then in England, you had the noblemen that pinned King John down and had him sign the Magna Carta, but it began to develop a check on the absolute power of the monarchs. And so in America, you had this middle class that gave birth to freedom. In Mexico, they didn't have that middle class, and that's why they didn't have the freedoms, they didn't have the developments. It was always, for 300 years, the rich Spanish lords, a very small sort of servant administrative middle class, which was the Spanish-Mexican mix, the mestizos, and sort of way in America, you know, I've been told culturally that the African-Americans, the ones with lighter complexions, at least in the past, were considered maybe socially higher than the ones that had a darker complexion. Well, in Mexico, the ones with more Spanish blood were considered a little bit higher socially than the ones that had just more Indian blood. But that was the way it was. So you had the Spanish on top, the rich, and the masses of the poor Indians. And it's no different today. As you mentioned, the billionaires, since GATT and NAFTA were put in place, there have been 50 more Mexican billionaires, but the poor have gotten poorer. And so the money does not trickle down. But I talked about Santa Anna. Then after him was Porfirio Diaz. He was in for about 30 years in Mexico. And Porfirio was the rich class candidate, and he did bring investment to Mexico, and he did build ports, and he did build buildings, and he did build infrastructure and roads and so forth. But the poor didn't have their lot improved, and so in 1910, another revolution happened in Mexico, led by Madero, and he didn't last long. A guy named Huerta killed him, and then Woodrow Wilson decided to support Carranza, who was just another bandit. And then we had to fight Pancho Villa, and there was Emiliano Zapata, and basically it was just gang warfare. So you have uneducated poor that just get so fed up that they start a revolution, but they've not been trained like America. When we rebelled against England, we had several hundred years of coaching in self-rule based on biblical principles of self-government, and unfortunately they didn't have it. It was just gang warfare, and one gang would then, sort of like what's happening over in the Gaza Strip right now, where Israel pulls out and they have one gang gets to control the country, and the other gang wants to overthrow it. And so now, you know, Jimmy Carter wants to support one gang and our administration's wanting to support the other gang. But it's just, this is what happened in Mexico. It's just one gang after another. And finally they started the PRI party in 1917, which is the revolutionary party. And it stayed in power for 70 years, longer than the Bolshevik Revolution. And it had somewhat of a semblance of giving, you know, rights and so forth, but the church had none. The government confiscated every piece of church property, especially the Catholics. Priests couldn't wear their outfits out in public. They were killed for, you know, delivering communion to somebody on the street. Very brutal tactics. They had the Cristeros War in 1926. But even in 1968, there were 260 people in, like, at Tiananmen Square in Mexico, and they were demonstrating against the government and its policies. And the president of Mexico sent guys with machine guns out into the streets and just mowed them down. And the world said nothing. And so we've recently, in 2006, you have the rich candidate was Calderon, and he won. But the poor candidate in Mexico was Obrador. And Obrador is a Hugo Chavez socialist, and he wants to set up a Castro-leaning, Hugo Chavez-leaning government just south of our border. So we're sort of between a rock and a hard place, with both choices aren't that good. But Obrador, even though he lost the election closely, he didn't concede the election, so he actually runs sections of Mexico City. And they actually had bombs go off in 2006 when President Bush visited Acapulco. And so it is a country on the verge of another revolution, and they've had lots of them.
Well,
and
you know, Chris, many people think that Obrador won the election and they rigged it to give it to the rich guy. So
and that's a very strong possibility. That was Mexico is a story of rigged elections. Porfirio Diaz, who was in for 30 years, it was so rife with corruption that anyway, that's why he fled the country and he died in France. But so we have this situation where the powers that be, the wealthy powers, they like the disgruntled, out-of-work Mexican farmer to go north because that is one less potential revolutionary. It's sort of like a safety valve. It lets the steam off, and so they come north. And then another part of the puzzle is remittances. Now, when a Mexican comes to America and earns some money, he sends most of the money back to Mexico.
Bill, we're out of time. We could go on, but it's a fascinating story.
Anyways, the number one source of income for the nation of Mexico is remittances.
God bless. Hey, we're out of time. Thanks so much. Look forward to talking to Gabriel soon. Bye-bye.
Everyone knows what you can find at the end of a rainbow. That's right, a pot full of gold. But who can find the end of a rainbow? Well, we have, and it's down at the corner. That's right, the corner. The Corner Coins and Jewelry Incorporated. Family owned and operated by John and Carol Anderson for over 16 years. Specializing in precious metals, gold and silver investments, and rare coins. Have it and hold it locally down at the corner. The corner of Remington and Mulberry in Fort Collins. The Corner Coins and Jewelry, 970-482-7759. That's 970-482-7759.
Find out how BioSuperfood has helped thousands of people everywhere, providing health benefits for heart disease, cancer, diabetes, fibromyalgia, liver disorders, osteoarthritis, glaucoma, depression, allergies, nervous system disorders, and much more. BioSuperfood is making an impact on how people everywhere approach health and nutrition. Join Dr. Roland Thomas every second Friday at 2 p.m. on the Danette Daniels Show, KHNC 1360 AM.
The Kelly Healing Arts Center, located in Fort Collins, provides exceptional individualized natural health treatment plans utilizing the best in natural therapies. If you are looking for quality health professionals that will listen to your needs, give honest advice, and provide quality health care, then call 970-223-7425. Again, 970-223-7425. To learn more about the Kelly Healing Arts Center, go to kindermedicine.com. Discover the best of what natural medicine has to offer.
If you're looking for a dependable, reasonable, and honest customer service, you're looking for Josiah Electric, LLC. Hi, this is Michael Pohl, owner of Josiah Electric, a licensed and insured commercial and residential electrical service with 9 years' experience serving the Wyoming, Nebraska, and Denver metro area. Contact us Monday through Saturday at 303-489-2170. That's 303-489-2170. Josiah Electric, service you can be sure of.
Well, I'm Dan here at the American Freedom Network. I hope you enjoyed your history lesson this morning. We have a very good book on Mexico. It's called No God Next Door. It goes into the background of the Mexican Revolution. the part that the Masons played, the part that the United States played in establishing this two-tiered system that they have down in Mexico, the very rich and the very poor, which is exactly what is planned for America at this time. If you haven't read the Master Plan, it's called the Earth Charter. You can get it off the internet. You can get it from us, written by three people, all of them billionaires, all of them deeply involved in the occult, the new Ten Commandments for America, the Earth Charter, where they call for equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations. That's your wealth, not their wealth. You can also find the Earth Charter in our sustainable development syllabus, or we can always send you a copy if you can't find one elsewhere. If you call us at 1-800-544-8927, you certainly would want to get that book, No God Next Door. Excellent, hard to get. And what tells you the true story of this terrible revolution in Mexico, which was fostered by the American government, because even then, of course, these globalist forces were there, intent upon destroying religion. And remember that the government they had in Mexico for 70 years, the PRI, was basically a communist government. Now, you say, but it was run by the very wealthy. Well, that's exactly what communism is. They have an upper class, and then they have the KGB and the secret police that keep everybody in line. Communism is not the equitable distribution of goods. It's a dictatorship, and that's why the people in Washington, D.C. have installed communist dictatorships throughout the world. They have nothing to do with Karl Marx. They have everything to do with a group of people who are spiritually akin and are dedicated to this idea of a world government. And that's why we installed Mugabe, the butcher there in Uganda. This is why we brought communism to communist China in 1950. That, and of course, we didn't want the competition from the Chinese at that time. America was to establish the world empire. America was to lead the world into the new world order, the new world religion, the new world leader. And that is why we have troops in 130 nations throughout the world, some 720 military bases throughout the world. You see, you're not to understand this idea of the American empire, that they're using our wealth to conquer the world. But there are a few countries that didn't want to go along, and they were Arab countries. Well, don't you worry. We're going to take care of that with our policy as we expand the war in the Middle East and bring America into direct conflict with the entire Muslim world. And the plan is to have the Christians and the Muslims and the Jews all destroy one another. How do we know? Why, that's what they wrote. That's what Jua Kul channeled to Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey was the inspiration for George W. Bush and his remarks about the New World Order. That was Alice Bailey's remarks. You'll find it in our February newsletter on the internet at radioliberty.com. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
It's time for the annual 4th of July picnic at Parrish Park in Johnstown. Join Eric Cederstrom, Joe Jaquin, Michael Corbin, Danette Golden, Randy Yarborough, Don and Sharon Wiedemann, and all of your other favorite talk show personalities and advertisers for an old-fashioned 4th of July. Avi Lipkin will be the guest speaker, and there will be music, talk, and much more. Daddy's Dogs will be cooking up the best dogs and burgers in town. $5 per person gets you a great lunch. Call 1-800-205-6245 for more information.
You're listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver.
We'll be in concert Saturday, June the 30th at 10:30 a.m. at the Beth Messiah Congregation, 8333 Acoma Way in Denver. This is a Shabbat concert you won't want to miss. That's June the 30th, 10:30 a.m., Beth Messiah Congregation. For more information, call 1-800-205-6245.
You're listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver.
An unborn daughter is married to someone else.
Bobby Cutts Jr. has at least one child with his wife, Kelly. He says he and his wife are separated but have not filed for divorce, and that she knew he had a relationship with Jesse Davis, the missing woman. Cutts is the father of Davis's two-year-old.